News Talk 790 KFYO. Wow. 7:09, it's Friday. We're going to share some personal information about Mayor Glenn Robertson with you here in just a few minutes. He had some burial. He wants to be bequeathed in a certain way.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's Fanimation Friday. Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery has the Urban Jet fans, and the only place you can get the Urban Jet fans in Lubbock, Texas, and the surrounding area would be Ferguson Kitchen, Bath, and Lighting Gallery. Now, yeah, they have one in Amarillo. Yes, they're down in Abilene and whatnot. But right here in Lubbock, Texas, 6242nd Street, you can go by and see the Fanimation Urban Jet fans over at Ferguson at 6242nd Street. Right now, we're going to go ahead and announce the winning name. Mayor Glenn Robertson has officiated and pulled the name out, Wyman Ritchie. Wyman Ritchie.
Congratulations.
You're going to be cool with a sweet little Urban Jet retro fan. It's inspired by the lines of the 57 Chevy.
Mm-hmm. It's really neat.
Yeah, they're cool. Really neat. So anyway, we'll be following up with a phone call. Wyman, congratulations. Now, as far as the information as far as how the mayor wants to be bequeathed, Laura, I was sitting there. Laura was sitting here saying, here's the deal.
You can telegraph, telephone, or teletom.
Exactly.
I think that people want to know this.
Well, it's news breaking.
Laura was saying we needed a hopper in here, and we were going, you know, you roll the little barrel around. And I said, we need the music to go with it. Glenn said, I want that music on my grave.
With a little crank on the side of the tombstone.
Yeah.
Pop the weasel.
You know what? I'll bet you.
Say something.
I happen to have the inside track with a pretty cool cat over at Peaceful Gardens. His name's Bobby Assiter. The Assiter family owns that.
I think we can market those stones.
I think we're on something here.
Well, I was going to say there's a lot of sick people that would like those, but I think most people that end up dead are sick, so that may be a little redundant in itself.
Oh, anyway, we're not being insincere, Bobby. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but give him a call over at Peaceful Gardens. If there's a musical headstone out there, he'll find it for you.
He'll be so appreciative of that.
Now, you may have just stepped into a pre-need contract here.
I may have.
You know, that'd be okay. Anyway, you may have stepped into a pre-need contract when you signed on as mayor of Lubbock, Texas.
Well, I stepped into something, but I don't know that it was a pre-need contract.
Wow. Okay. I know your first comment's going to be, don't you have a life? I did watch the city council meeting. I watched Channel 2. I was glued to the set. Man, 25 people, was it 25 people spoke when the citizens' comments? I know.
I think that's about right.
That's what our news guy, Cole Shooter, said. It seemed like there was a lot more than 25 people. However, what sticks out in your mind here? First of all, I know a lot of people stood up in your, not defense, but in approval of your stance relative the Lita cut and having the threatening, you know, messages, or I would say they're threatening or hostile, saying,
I think hostile is a better word.
You know, if you don't back off of these issues, then, you know, we're gonna put people up against you. It doesn't matter how much it costs, Declan Robertson.
Goodness.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Osborne can give up part of that $43,000 car allowance. Because when I was in sales, I never got a car allowance, 43G. Are you kidding me? Come on. Isn't that, what's his name, first name, Osborne? Steve? Is it Steve?
Don Osborne.
Don. Steve, Tom, sorry, Don, whatever. Don. He's getting $43,000 in an automobile.
John Osborne.
John, whatever. Dear John, give up your, why don't you give some back to the community? Give up your automobile allowance. But anyway, dive into the Lita cut and really what it's all about.
Well, Lita is funded by 1/8 cent of the sales tax. Market Lubbock is funded, and the 1/8 cents to Lita was voted by the voters back in 2003 or 2004. City Council authorizes typically 3 cents of the property tax rate to Market Lubbock, who then grants the majority of that money over to Lita. Every year they get a substantial raise in revenue just due to appraisal creep, sales tax revenue going up, and new properties on the tax rolls. So they were going to have a significant rise in income. What I proposed was a 1/2 cent cut to the 3 cent funding. It actually would have ended up to a $12,000 cut over their total revenue from last year. Now, this is out of a $9 million budget. So it was going to have an effect of about $12,000 over last year's. The reason I proposed it is they've got about $2.8 million budgeted to go into a capital projects fund with no capital improvement plan at all. There were notes that there were 37 identified potential projects and that one or more may start in 2013-14. That's not how we do business at the City of Lubbock. It's not a good way to run a governmental business. It's not a good way to account for tax dollars. Now, even though Leda and Market Lubbock are set up separately, they are funded entirely. Every dollar they get is tax dollars. And we do have discretion over the 3 cents. They also had $400,000 going to an account for potentially purchasing land for somebody that wants to come in and do business in Lubbock that doesn't want, but they don't want to be in the business part. But they had nobody identified. So
right.
I felt like there was about $3.2 million sitting there that they really had not identified how they were going to spend. I felt like their budget was very poorly done, and it looked to me like there was considerable funds available, and I still think there are.
Well, when you don't have things designated like that and we do give the money over, does that mean it's discretionary to them, period, end of sentence?
That's the way their budget looked. It was going to be completely discretionary. I've got some issues with economic development, but I know we have to play the game because we are in competition against other cities. But we don't need to continue to let that money rise and rise and rise. I think $9 million is a sufficient amount of money to allocate towards economic development, especially when we're in times and we're having difficult times balancing the budget, and we've got a lot of other needs in this city.
Yeah. Well, that certainly upset some of the Leda supporters and a lot of the citizens who have been very, very verbal and very vehement have stood up and, man, it looked like the Glenn Robertson fan club last night. I mean, pretty much. You had some support in the house.
People are very passionate right now. They got hit very hard and are continuing to get very hard by the LPNL bills. And I think anybody that will stand up and try to get them some relief, they're happy with right now.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be back. Mayor Glenn Robertson after city council meeting last night, 7:17. Good morning. At 7:23, Collins Mack on Friday, front side of the weekend. And Mayor Glenn Robertson's in the house after the city council meeting last evening. Off microphone, we were just talking about the budget and the tax increase and how much that was. And one thing that I did not hear anyone bring up last night as I was watching the meeting was any concern that the citizens and taxpayers of Lubbock have paid $410,000 for the firing of a city manager without cause.
Nobody said anything about that?
Nobody said anything about that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Latrell Joy is the brainiac that made the motion to fire her, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Latrell. Anyway, do we have anything in... has anybody said, given a reason why? I mean, I don't like her. She smells bad. Her breath stinks. Do we have any reason why? Has anybody said anything?
No. Ms. Dunball was fired for no cause.
Okay. So, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Robertson, but $410,000 is a substantial chunk of the change that would have covered this tax increase.
About a third of it.
33%. Okay. So what we did is we fired somebody who did a job as a city manager. We fired them without cause. We paid attorney $60,000, bought out our contract for $350,000, and nobody's pissed about that. I am. Way to go. I mean, way to...
Did Ms. Joy do that because to end it, just to end it and get it over with and stop racking up legal fees?
You know, I can't speak for why she did that or why anybody voted for it. It was a 4-3 vote to terminate, and there was no cause given. And I can speak as to why I voted against it, but I'll never try to speak for why any other council members did anything.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to fire somebody, let me tell you something. If you're going to fire somebody without cause, then you pay unemployment. That's the way that it works. What we did here was we gave her a big, long, slow, deep, wet, juicy kiss, and it cost us $410,000 when she was doing her job anyway. Now, if you're in the public eye and we're firing somebody for some unknown reason, then don't you think the taxpayers deserve to know what the reason is? This thing is just kind of floating by and dissolving into the woodwork.
Well, no, I mean, you can be fired without cause.
Well, that's true. You can be fired without cause, and that's fine if you're in private business. But in the public sector, don't you think people have the right to know? Don't you think you have a right to know since you pay taxes? I want to know why. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I can pin that $410,000 on Latrell's donkey. You know? There you have it.
Well, anyway. Where are we on city manager right now? Has she officially left the office?
Oh, yes. She left the office that evening. That was her last day of employment, because the motion was to terminate effective immediately. Mm-hmm. James Loomis is our acting city manager. We approved having staff start the process of a search last night. The timetable, we are looking, it'll probably be October 1 of 2014. We have the luxury right now of having Mr. Loomis, who is extremely capable. So we're going to be able to do a very good, thorough, deliberate search and hopefully come up with just the perfect candidate that will fit in the Lubbock.
Okay, my next question here is, how much is it going to cost us in estimation to search this person out?
Doing it in-house, we think it will cost $5,000 to $10,000. If we had gone out and hired consultants, that number could be $30,000 to $50,000. We've got the expertise in house. We've got the capability. So I think we can save like about $40,000 to $45,000 doing it this
Now,
way.
Didn't somebody suggest hiring an outside consultant?
Mr. Hernandez did, and that was at the previous council member.
Okay. Now, did we just vote on that?
We voted last night on it. Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right, that part I missed. I think I must have went up and went to the bathroom or something. But anyway, so technically speaking, the bill for the city manager thing, firing someone without cause, the attorney's fees, and the search were about $475,000.
We're going to be at about $425,000 probably when we get through with everything. And I say that, I don't know, there may be some more contributions that we're having to do on the city side because of that severance agreement with Ms. Dumbald. I'd have to get with the budget office to find out. I would assume that we're paying our portion of withholding and some things within that $350,000.
Have we already written the check or anything?
Yes, check is written and gone, and I would imagine cashed by now.
Wow.
I know if it was me, I would have cashed it by now.
I would too before it got a little hot.
That's right.
I'm sure she went out and bought a vacation home in Slayton or Plainview or somewhere like that.
Loop. Yes.
Sweet action. Len Robertson back in the house after Matt Crow's news, bottom of the hour, 7:29. Good morning. Good morning, KFYO 739. Laura Mack with Tom Collins and Mayor Glenn Robertson in De Casa. Welcome to the program again, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, I was watching Channel 2 last night, and I watched the city council meeting.
Which we always laugh about.
I'm amazed that you don't have anything else going on in your
life. I was eating dinner at my mom's house.
He's a concerned citizen.
Okay, good.
Well, I just, you know, I want to see what's going on.
And I will tell you, like, I joke about that, but there are a lot more people that watch us on Channel 2 than I ever realized.
Yeah. Now, it's good that people are concerned and want to know what's going
on. Now, I can see you saying that when I'm, you know, referring to watching the rerun at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
I can see that.
That's kind of like buying stuff off QVC at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's for people who have insomnia and they're trying to go to sleep.
Yeah. would make the council a good program to watch.
Now, I have a question for you, and I waited until we were live so I wouldn't ruin the spontaneity of the moment.
Uh-oh.
When you hear people speaking, whether it's the people that signed up or the people that are on the agenda, on the planned agenda that signed up well in advance, when you hear the little desk bell go ding, now I know that's a time bell, but does that mean your time is up, or does that mean you have so many seconds left?
The first one you hear is a little ding that says you have 20 seconds left, and then it will go off again when your time is up.
There were some points last night where I thought I was going to hear this ding, 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 ding.
Because they kept going?
Yeah, just, yeah.
You know, we're in a position where we need to hear from the citizens. They need a platform in which they can come speak to the council. So I'm very hesitant to cut people off. Now, It does get to the point sometimes, and last night was one of those where we got very close to it, that it starts making the meeting go so long that we become less effective the later it gets. So it's one of those fine lines that I have to walk as mayor. I have yet to really ever try to cut anybody off, but if they get to going very long, sometimes I will ask them to try to wrap it up.
What time did the meeting actually end last night? Because I passed out while I was watching this.
I think it was 11:20, 11:30 in that range.
Wow. So you get home, what, about 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that?
I got home a little after midnight, and by the time I got cleaned up and brushed my teeth and did all that stuff, it was, you know, 1 o'clock.
Wow. But you had like 25 people who wanted to speak.
We did, and then we also had the tax rate hearing, and We had about another 10 or 12 come up during that.
Mm-hmm. So where are we at on the tax rate anyway? It's going to happen, isn't it?
I'm afraid it's going to happen. Right now it looks like we'll have a 1.23 cent increase in the property tax rate. I've got a big issue with it because there are ways we can get this budget done without cutting services, without raising property taxes. But I don't think I have three other votes to do that. So I think where we're going to end up with this budget is we'll probably end up with a budget that's 1.23 cent property tax rate increase, no increase on the stormwater fees, a little bit of decrease on the base water rate. That's going to be kind of the, you know, the sum total of it.
Okay, now I'm just going to throw a few things out there and let people kind of connect the dots, or let you connect the dots for people. And this is Tom's opinion. This is my ascertainment of the circumstances, okay? You had Chris Wynn stand up, and he was basically talking about, I think it was Article 12 of the amendments, and saying that the city council did have the right to select, and that the board serves at the pleasure of the UB, serves at the pleasure of the city council. Now, yes, they do serve and you appoint. That doesn't mean that they work for you on a day-to-day basis. There are some strings attached from city council to the EUB, but the EUB is autonomous in many respects, are they not?
They are completely autonomous in what they're charged to do with LPNL. The only thing that they don't have control over on LPNL that this charter says the city council retains is budgeting, the setting of rates, eminent domain, and the ability to bond money.
Okay. And here's another thing that just kind of sticks out of my mind. We're all worried about the rates, and we're all worried about taxes, and we're all worried about how much money and the increases and ways that we can be good stewards of the community money. The funds that are raised by the municipality of Lubbock, Texas through taxes or, you know, sale of power or whatever. We'll go over that stuff when we come back at 7:44. News Talk 790 KFYO 747 with Tom Collins and Laura Mack. It is Friday morning. Nice morning as the sun's coming up. Nice and cool, even though the humidity is a little bit high, but we'll take it. Hopefully we can get a little bit more rain out of the deal the next few weeks. It certainly would be nice.
Yeah.
That could solve some of our groundwater problems. We are still in a drought, people, so make sure you're not watering the street. Okay, Mayor Glenn Robertson's in the house. We had the city council meeting that lasted to darn near midnight, and we've got a concerned caller on the line. Brian, you're on. Good morning.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to ask the question of, I was talking with some friends about what could be done with, as far as the LPNL drama that's going on, and we thought that the best thing to do would be to get a petition to Rick Perry about changing the law on the monopoly that Lubbock has taken advantage of. And I just want to know what the mayor thinks on doing a petition so that Lubbock's no longer in the situation.
Well, a petition to the governor would not help. If you wanted to have the Lubbock and Lubbock area be regulated, you'd have to go through your state legislatures, and it would take legislation at the state level to deregulate this portion of the state. Now, the rest of the state, ERCOT, is deregulated, but up here in the South Plains Power Pool, it's not. And a lot of the reason we're not is we don't have the infrastructure for other power companies to come in and provide the services to us right now.
That answer your question, Brian?
Not really. It was kind of the answer I expected. I think the ability's there. We got wind turbines all over town, and they bought out the other power company. So obviously the ability was there. It's just they didn't want nobody to take advantage of it. It's kind of how it comes across to me, but. That answered my question.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brian. One of the things that is probably accurate is that I would assume is contacting our state legislature. So
that would be a good starting place.
Yeah, John right. Frullo, Charles Perry, Robert yeah. Duncan, and you know, maybe we can visit with them and see if we can get them on, and we'll actually visit about that. And that's a legitimate concern. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Appreciate
I hear
you,
that a lot from people around town about it being a monopoly and how that's not good.
It is a monopoly, just as our water department is a monopoly, mm-hmm. just as our solid or our sewer department is a monopoly. Monopolies are not unusual in municipalities. And in most cases, it's not a bad thing. Our problem is not the fact that LPNL is the only power company in town anymore. Our problem is the way it's set up and the fact that we have a council right now, and we've had a council since the charter amendment that will not do our job of overseeing the budget and the rates. We can talk about everything else we want to talk about. We can point our fingers at LPNL. We can point our fingers at staff. The responsibility is solely this city council. We're the ones not doing our job.
This is one thing that is the irony that's kind of crossed my mind. Everybody's talking about transparency, and everybody wants to say, oh, I'm transparent. And everybody wants to step up and get on that word transparency bandwagon here forward, okay? But there are a lot of things, let's say, like on your bill, there was a lot of, and Bill Kernow brought this up last night, the average winter billing, the AWB. Which he spoke and said, actually, he thought the AWB was fair.
Right.
Because if he uses more, he expects to pay more. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are just so outraged they want to get rid of that. But the thing is even with the transparency call, and what I was making the point of on the transparency was, we want to be transparent on the power issue and all that, but nobody... And I don't want to get back to the firing of Leanne Dumbald, but why are we not transparent on that? Why are we just, because I said so, because I want to fire her without cause, and it costs us $410,000, and we don't know why? Well, that's not a good enough reason for me, not when that covers 33% of the proposed tax increase. Are you kidding me?
You know, that going back to what our caller said about wind turbines and all that, I mean, they're in our area. They're everywhere. I mean, and we're talking about costs of fuel or energy costs, you know, that we have to buy from people. And that's going to be an issue in the very, very near future.
It's going to continue to be an issue. You know, regardless if we're using natural gas or coal, cost of fuel will always be an issue we have to deal
yeah.
with.
Yeah. 7:53, we'll be back. Good morning. Good morning, 7:57 with KFYO Collins and Matt Glenn Robertson in the house talking about LPNL and the city council meeting and rate structures, transparency, the average winter billing. You know, we could stand to make, Bill Kernow did make a good point, we could stand to know if we had an explanatory legend in the bill so people actually knew what that was.
It's my understanding that LPNL is trying to rework that the way the bill is presented right now. Hopefully it will in the future look a little bit more self-explanatory, simpler to read. We've got to do a better job of that. LPNL does all of the billing for the city. Now, they are looking at trying to cut that away. But at the current time, they're still doing the billing for all the utility funds. So I am encouraged that they're at least looking at that.
Yeah. I mentioned to you off mic that I had spoke with Glenn Patton. Now, he's on the ZBA, Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Right.
And I just happened to bump into him at McDonald's and having a Coke. And he's into power generation,
right,
things like that. He was telling me that the biggest bang for the buck really is gas, natural gas-powered electric turbines.
That is true today, and it's true because natural gas prices are still at near historic lows. We're at about $3.40. It's peaked at $14 back in the early 2000s when LPNL got in so much trouble. Hit a low of about $1.50. Coal prices are actually down, but we'll never get another coal permit planted, and wind is just very expensive energy.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there a lot, like natural gas, isn't that, with all the shale production and everything, isn't natural gas forecast to be kind of like the fuel of the next couple of decades?
The futures right now are natural gas. Looks like the price should double in about the next 6 or 7 years. But, yes, we are getting a lot more natural gas supplies.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate you being with us.